Good morning, everyone.
Today's scripture is coming from Mark chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there are many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners."
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, good morning, everyone. And thank you for joining us today. Hello to those of you who call Antioch home, those who are visiting with us today, and to those who are watching online, a big hello. Thank you for joining us virtually as well. As we get started today, I want you to just take a moment and just take 30 seconds, greet the person around you, maybe introduce yourself, and also tell them what you're looking forward to most this summer. So what are you looking forward to most this summer? All right. All right, thanks for doing that. Just want another way that we get to continue to know each other here at Antioch. So as we begin, I want to tell you, I have a friend named Terry, who grew up in Wisconsin, and Terry is a huge diehard Green Bay Packers fan. He is like the biggest Packers fan that I've ever met. So Terry loves watching the games. He loves going to the games when he's in Green Bay. And he loves all things Green Bay Packers. And so naturally, because he loves all things Green Bay Packers, that also means that he hates all things Minnesota Vikings. You guessed it, Minnesota Vikings. So I remember a few months ago, I was joking with Terry about Minnesota Vikings fans as a Green Bay Packers fan. And he told me that, he said, "You know, I really don't like to hang around Minnesota Vikings fans because," and this is what he said, he says, "when I hang around them, they make me feel like a dirty sinner. And I feel like I need to," whenever I leave from being around Vikings fans, I feel like I need to go sit at the foot of the cross and I need to repent. And so he joked about it, and he said, so he tries not to hang around them because as a Packers fan, he views himself as superior to Vikings fans. I just thought that was funny. Now, this is all fun and games when it comes to a football game. But what happens when Christians begin to adopt this mindset when it comes to other people? What happens when people who claim to follow Jesus view other people as less than or not as good as me? Or what about when a Christian has an inflated view of themselves? This is the issue that Jesus addresses in our passage today. As we go through Mark, we're walking through the Gospel of Mark, and in the passage that we're in today, as we walk through this, we're seeing that Jesus is continuing to have people come to him for various reasons. And his public ministry is growing, and as his public ministry grows, so do the number of opinions about him. And one of the opinions a lot of people had was who Jesus chose to associate with, who he chose to hang out with. Because for a lot of people, Jesus did not hang around who they thought he should hang around. If he really were the Son of God, as he claimed to be, many people thought that this automatically meant that Jesus would hang around nothing but super spiritual people all of the time. But as we're going to see, just like pretty much every other area of his life, Jesus takes what the world says, he takes the world's standards, and he completely shocks everyone. So look how our passage starts off today. Look how it starts off. It says, once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. So this lake is the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus did a lot of his ministry work. It was where he called, if you remember a few weeks ago, we talked about where he called two sets of brothers, Simon and Andrew, and also James and John. So this is the same area. So he's now back on this same body of water. And look what it says. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. Don't rush past that verse, because I think it continues to show us the heart that Jesus has for people. So Jesus is walking alongside the lake, and people begin to recognize him. And before you know it, it says a large crowd starts to form. And notice what Jesus does here. He doesn't tell them, hey, you know, let me finish my walk, or catch me at a later time, or let's schedule an appointment, or get on my calendar. What does Jesus do? He begins to teach the people. And this reminds us that, I love that Jesus never shooed people away. He didn't tell people to come back tomorrow. Jesus had time for people. He never made people feel like they were an inconvenience to him. He took advantage of natural opportunities to draw people into the kingdom of God. And when you think about that, for us, not that we have to always make ourselves available for everyone, because even Jesus had times where he set boundaries, but I do think we need to be sensitive to the natural opportunities God gives us to tell people about Jesus. Because I think for all of us, we're always constantly given these opportunities at school and at work and in our neighborhood, and when you go to a restaurant or when you go to a coffee shop or when you're checking the mail. God is always bringing people into our life, into our lives, across our path that he wants us to share the gospel with. So we have to pray that we are sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit when natural opportunities arise. So a large crowd is forming, and Jesus is teaching them. And look what it says. He saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. So here we go. So you have a man named Levi who is a tax collector. And tax collectors during this time were despised and even hated. And here's why. The Romans imposed heavy taxes on the Jews. And some of those taxes, I included a list of them here, some of those taxes were they would have a tax on the crops that they grew. So how big your crop was, or how much crop you grew, you would have to pay a tax on that. They had a tax on the transportation of goods. So if you were coming through the country and you had goods, you would have to pay a tax on that. A tax on the number of fish you caught in the Sea of Galilee. So you couldn't just go fishing and take your fish home. You had to pay a tax on the number of fish that you caught. A tax on the number of animals you own. So if you had goats or whatever it was, you would have to pay a tax on that. A sales tax on the items purchased. If you had a business during this time, you would have to pay a business license tax. Or if a family member passed away and you inherited property, or if you inherited money, you'd have to pay a tax on top of that. So those were the taxes that the Romans imposed on them. This was already on top of the temple tax that was already in place. So they had a lot of taxes that they had to pay. So the Romans imposed all these taxes, and what they would do, they would appoint in each district, in each region, a tax collector who would be responsible for collecting the taxes from the local citizens and from people passing through the regions. Levi was one of these tax collectors. But here's what Levi and his other tax collector friends were notorious for. This is why people did not like tax collectors. Instead of charging people the correct amount, they would cheat people by charging them more than what they had. So I was reading about this. So this is what they would do. For instance, if someone was passing through and they had just come from fishing in the Sea of Galilee, let's say they had caught 20 fish, they would charge them as if they had 30 fish or 40 fish. So they were overcharging people what they actually owed. Or if you had purchased 5 goats, they would tax you as if you had purchased 7 or 8 goats. And then what they would do, they would take it a step further and they would keep part of the profits for themselves. And they would do this over and over and over again to people, and tax collectors got filthy rich doing this. So because of this, most people strongly disliked tax collectors because they were dishonest cheaters who made themselves rich at the expense of other people. So in order to actually collect these taxes, tax collectors would often set up these mobile tax booths along the side of busy highways or along the Sea of Galilee where people would be walking and traveling, and when you pass by, you would be required to stop. So it's, I think I have an illustration here of what a tax booth looked like during this time. And so people would be required to stop and pay whatever taxes they owed, or pretty much whatever the tax collector decided that day. You would have to pay. And so it's at one of these tax booths, engaging in these type of illegal activities, where a man named Levi has his life completely changed by Jesus. Notice what it says. So Jesus is walking along the lake, and it says he saw Levi sitting at the tax collector's booth. Now, when it says he saw Levi, this doesn't mean this was the first time Jesus had ever seen Levi and was like, wow, this guy looks smart. I wonder if he wants to be one of my disciples. This isn't Jesus' first time learning about Levi. This isn't his first time seeing Levi. Instead, when it says Jesus saw Levi, it means he chose Levi. Levi is a tax collector, and Jesus, in his perfect timing, in his sovereign will, decides that now is the right time to choose Levi to become a disciple. And by doing this, by choosing a tax collector, Jesus is turning the world's way of thinking upside down, because no one wanted to associate with tax collectors at this time. Remember, they were hated, they were despised, and yet Jesus chooses one of them to be a close follower. So what we get here, church, what we get here is this beautiful illustration of the redemptive work of Jesus in someone's life. Notice here, when Jesus called Levi, Levi wasn't sitting in the temple praying. He wasn't in the synagogue reading scripture. He wasn't off having a prayer retreat. He was in his tax collector's booth, probably taking money from people and stuffing his own pockets with it. But with a crowd of people all around, and literally with anyone to choose from, Jesus sees this dishonest tax guy, walks up to him and says, "Follow me." This is a powerful demonstration of the grace of God. This is what the world needs to hear. This is what the world needs to see, that despite their sinfulness and their life choices and their checkered past and their flaws and the mistakes they've made, Jesus can change lives. And nobody is beyond redemption. He isn't out to make people feel bad about who they are. He isn't out to make people feel bad about the choices they've made in the past. He's out so that people can realize the freedom they have in who he is. How, think, How gracious and merciful and loving is Jesus that a tax collector is now a disciple. But this account doesn't stop right there. Look what it says. Levi got up and followed him. I love that Mark includes that phrase, got up, because it reminds us that Levi had to make an intentional decision to get up, leave his tax collector's booth, leave behind his former way of life with all the sin and the dishonesty and the cheating and the bribery, and follow Jesus. And he did so because he knew that what Jesus had to offer was better than anything else the world could offer. So Levi gets up and he follows Jesus. Jesus issued the invitation, and by his actions, Levi answered the call. So as I thought about this week, as I was preparing, I thought more and more about this, and I kept thinking, how can we illustrate this? How can we make this come to life? So I want you to imagine, this is my tax collector's booth. And when you think about it, the tax collector's booth really does represent, all it represents is everything's sinfulness. The carnal thinking and the engaging in the self-indulgence and what I want to do and living for myself and indulging in myself and cheating people and bribing people and doing what I want to do, everything that's against God, that's what the tax collector's booth represents, being consumed and caught up in our sinfulness. So Levi was in his sinfulness. Here's what happened. Jesus comes along and he says, Levi, follow me. Levi does not just stay there. He has to get up and follow Jesus. Notice what Levi does not do. He does not say, okay, Jesus, I'll follow you, but I'll stay right here. No, he has to get up and turn and go towards Jesus. He has to go toward the cross. So Levi, by doing this, he goes towards Jesus, but what he's also doing is he's turning his back on his former way of living. Everything that represented his life before Jesus, his sinfulness, his indulgence, and everything that was had him caught up in the world standard, that's what this represented. When Jesus, when we trust and we place our trust and our faith in Jesus, we turn our back on everything of the world and we go towards Jesus. What we cannot do is say, okay, Jesus, because Jesus still issues the same call for us today. Come and follow me. What we cannot do is say, okay, I'll follow you, Jesus, but I think I want to hang out here for just a little bit longer. If we're going to fully follow Jesus, we have to get up, leave whatever was holding you back, and go fully to Jesus. Let me ask you, have you left the tax booth? Have you fully placed your trust in Jesus? Have you left the booth? That's why Mark put that, and he says he got up. He could not stay at the tax collector's booth and be a disciple of Jesus. He could not do both. He had to choose. Let me ask you, have you left the tax collector's booth? When we place our trust in Jesus, that's what we do. We say, this part of me is dead. I am fully for Jesus. But here's what else we know. Here's what else we know, church. It's a daily decision to leave the tax collector's booth, because every day, the things of this world, the temptations and the pull of this world is always pulling us. There's always something of the world pulling us. And we have to, every day when we get up, say, you know what? I've left this. I'm following Jesus. I've left this. I'm following Jesus. Let me ask you, in what ways do you struggle to leave the tax collector's booth? You're a follower of Jesus, but maybe the world continues to pull. There's something that continues to draw you back into your self-indulgence. We have to make the decision every day to get up and follow Jesus. Levi has his life transformed by Jesus, and he's so excited. He's so excited. Look what Levi does. So you remember how we've been reading how some people, when they were excited, they ran and told other people and things like that. Look what Levi does. Levi throws a dinner for all his other tax collector friends to meet Jesus. It says, while Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. Let that verse sink in. Because for most of the people during this time, what Jesus is doing here is mind-blowing. Jesus is having dinner with tax collectors and sinners, two groups of people that everyone distanced themselves from. Jesus drew near to. The people no one wanted to hang around with, Jesus hung around with. And so by doing this, Jesus is going directly against the prevailing notion during this time that said you don't hang out with people like this because they would make you look bad, or they would ruin your reputation, or they would make you look less godly. And if you were caught hanging out with them or associating with them, people would lose respect for you. So to keep this from happening to you, to make yourself look good, don't even go near them. In fact, don't even go in their house. Don't go near them. But by doing this, Jesus is going against the religious system. But he's not hanging out with them just to hang out and have fun. He's spending time with them so that, just like Levi, they can realize the freedom that they have in Jesus and that there is a better way. So Jesus is spending time with them. He's showing them that he came for everyone and that the good news is for everyone, not just for people who have it all together. And so I think as followers of Jesus, we have to understand that Jesus calls us to go to all people, especially those society writes off. That might be the people he calls you to go to. But here we go again. Here we go. Look at verse 16. So remember, they're having this dinner. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, listen to this, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? So at this point, you know, we've been looking at this for a few, at this point you get the sense that the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, they're just following him around just to bug Jesus. They're just, you notice that they're always around. Jesus heals someone, and then here's the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Jesus heals someone, here's the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Same thing is happening today. But back up into this verse, I want you to notice what this verse says. It says, when the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw Jesus eating with the tax collectors and sinners. This is now the second time that we've seen that word saw in our passage today. Remember, the first time was when it said Jesus saw Levi sitting at the tax collector's booth. And now it says when the teachers of the law saw Jesus eating with the tax collectors and sinners. So there's two different types of seeing going on here. The first one Jesus models for us, and it's seeing people for who they can become in the eyes of God. That's what it meant when it says Jesus saw Levi, seeing people for who they can become, who they are in the eyes of God. The second, when it says the tax collectors saw Jesus eating with them, the second is seeing people through a fleshly, judgy spirit. Let me ask you, how do you see people? Do you see people for who they can become in the kingdom of God, or for who they are in your eyes? How do you see people? So they see Jesus. They look at Jesus eating with them, and look what they ask. Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Now, when they ask this question, they're not actually asking to try to find out. It's not like they're actually wondering, why does Jesus eat with tax collectors and sinners? Instead, it's more of a judgmental statement that they're making behind their question. Essentially, what they're saying is this: doesn't Jesus know who those people are? He shouldn't be eating with them. In fact, he shouldn't even be in the same house with them. We, as the teachers of the law, as the Pharisees, we could never eat with them because we're so much better than they are. That's essentially what they're saying by asking this question. And before you and I, before we are too quick to judge them, I think we need to be careful here. Because I think if we're not careful, we can all find ourselves judging people. It may not be as outspoken as the Pharisees and the teachers of the law here, but I do think it's easier to judge people than we realize sometimes. And I think we judge people all the time. I think we judge people by the school they send their kids to. I think we judge people by the foods they choose to eat, the way they discipline their kids, the kind of car they drive, the kind of house they live in, the kind of church they go to, the kind of work they do, the kind of workouts they do, the kind of vacations they take, the kind of traditions their families have for the holidays, what they eat for the holidays, how the food tastes that they ate for the holidays. And here's a big one: who they voted for. I think we judge people all the time. And the list could go on and on and on. And I think, unfortunately, because of that, we have a tendency to look down on people because of our judgments of them. So let me ask you, in what ways do you have a tendency to judge other people? What are the ways that you look at other people? Even if you never say it to them, what are the ways that you judge other people? I think we all have that tendency, and we have to constantly ask Jesus, help me not judge people. Help me not judge people. That's what the teachers of the law and the Pharisees are doing. They're judging Jesus because of who he's hanging out with. So they ask this question, why is he eating with them? And Jesus sees right through their question to the real issue. Look how he responds. He says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. So Jesus uses the analogy of a doctor to describe his ministry. He says, look, people who are healthy don't need a doctor, but the sick do. And not just the physically sick, but the spiritually sick. Those who are sick and those who are ill in their spirits because of their sins, those are the ones who need a doctor. And Jesus is saying that he is that doctor. This is why I remember all the physical healings that Jesus did. He does those because they pointed to a deeper need that people had, and that was the forgiveness of sins. That's what people were really, really sick from. This is why he didn't want people coming to him just to be healed physically, because by doing this, they missed the point of what he truly came for and why he truly came. Remember last week we looked at this, the man who was paralyzed, and they tore a hole in the roof and lowered him in front of Jesus. If you remember when Jesus healed him, you remember Jesus told him? Jesus didn't say, the first thing he did not say was your legs work or you can get up and walk. The very first thing Jesus told him was your sins are forgiven. This is why Jesus came. So Jesus says, look, the healthy don't need a doctor, but the sick do. And here's what's interesting. The teachers of the law sitting here thinking that they're healthy are actually sick, but they don't realize it. So the teachers of the law are sick. The tax collectors are sick. The sinners are sick. Everyone in that room except for Jesus is sick. In fact, everyone who has ever lived is sick. The only difference is some realize it and some don't. Then he says, I have not come to call the righteous, but I've come to call sinners. This was said directly at the teachers of the law. He's turning his attention to them now. He says, look, I have not come to call the righteous, meaning the self-righteous. You guys who are righteous in your own eyes, you guys sitting here thinking you're healthy, but you're actually sick. He says, look, I haven't come to call the self-righteous. I have come to call the sick. He says, contrary to what you think, The reason I came was to call sinners so that they can experience life in me and freedom in me and joy in me and peace and love with me. That's why I'm having dinner with them. In fact, Jesus, in one of these same episodes, if you read Matthew chapter 21, verse 31, Jesus is addressing the same group of people, and he tells them, he says, look, the teachers of the law, I'm sorry, he says, look, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering into the gates of heaven before you. Because they realize their need for me and you don't. So Jesus talks about the tax collectors in other places. He says, look, they're going to heaven because they notice that they're sick. They need me. That's why I'm having dinner with them. But you are missing the point. That's why he noticed a tax collector and called him to follow him. Because that tax collector named Levi also goes by the name Matthew and becomes a disciple of Jesus, and he follows Jesus around and he learns from him and he performs miracles in his name, and he writes a book of the Bible. It's actually the first book of the New Testament, and it's called the Gospel of Matthew. Think about that. One of the four Gospels was written by a man who used to be a despised tax collector. This is why Jesus eats with sinners, because he changes lives. This is why Jesus calls us to go into the world, because we know that Jesus changes lives. And so maybe you're here today and you can admit that you're sitting at the tax collector's booth. You have not placed your trust in Jesus. You're consumed with the things of the world. You're consumed with your sin. Let me tell you, Jesus offers something that the world could never offer. And it's the forgiveness of your sins. And when you do that, you get up from the tax collector's booth and you fully give your life to Jesus. And I want to give you that opportunity today. If you have not placed your trust in Jesus, to do so today, it is the best decision you will ever make. Or maybe you can admit that you've given your life to Jesus, but lately you've been kind of hanging out here. You would say, I gave my life to Jesus, I put my trust in Jesus, but lately I've been kind of hanging out here. Maybe you could say, something has been keeping me here. I want to give you a chance to pray and say, Jesus, I turn away from those things. I'm fully, fully committed to you. So wherever you are today, or maybe you're fully committed to Jesus, but it's a battle. I want to encourage you, stay fully committed to Jesus. Amen? Jesus offers us something that the world could never offer us. So get up. Leave the tax collector's booth. And be fully committed to Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you that when we were deep in our sins, when we were sitting at the booth, you saw us. You didn't wait for us to get our life together and then call us. You saw us when we were here, and you said, follow me. And so, God, I pray if there's anyone here today who has not made that decision, that your Holy Spirit will touch down in their hearts today, that just like Levi, they will realize, Jesus, you are the way. I'm going to get up, turn away from these things, and go to you, Jesus. But, Jesus, we also know that the world we live in is always a battle. We're always in a battle. Help us to remember that we've turned away from the booth and that we are fully committed to you. If there is anything that's trying to continue to pull us back to the booth, we confess those things to you right now, Jesus. You know what they are. You know everyone's temptations and everyone's struggles. You know those things, Jesus. But we're reminded of your gracefulness and your graciousness today. Pray that you give us strength to stay close to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.